Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
Welcome to the TortureCast. I don't know if that worked. This is episode 211 on October 18th, 2020, and I'm here joined by Eric Nathanson and Willie. Eric, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just enjoying the gluttony of baseball and kind of sad that baseball's already almost over. Like, I feel like we just friggin' started. This sucks. You know, Willie, you've been watching a lot of ball down there?
Some. I got really into the Astros series when it got really interesting there. Being down 3-0 and then coming back, I was like, well, they're supposed to win game 7 now, right? I was like, this is the perfect like story to piss everybody off in 2020. Unfortunately, that didn't happen for my buddy Ty. Fortunately for the rest of the baseball world, they didn't have to lose their minds watching the Astros in the World Series, being a 29-31 team. So That was the big story here in Texas anyway. There were a lot of Astros jerseys out and about, more than usually you see Rangers fans here in Austin. But definitely the fair weather Astros fans were back, with them being one win away from the World Series. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. Now I definitely have a rooting interest, at least.
No kidding. I mean, how was that, though? I mean, it's, you know, most of the country obviously hates the Astros. And then you got this local area. It'd be the same thing. Like, you know, we had this kind of with a microcosm with Barry Bonds, right?
Sure.
He didn't represent the whole team. People just hated Bonds. But sometimes people hated the Giants by kind of association. But, you know, now you're talking about a whole team, even though now most of the team was not involved in the cheating controversy. You know, obviously Dusty
was in
half
chunk,
the team.
Though. You still have a good chunk, right?
Yeah. You have the core, right? Yeah. You have the core. Yeah.
Obviously, new manager, like, you know, new GM, a lot of this stuff has changed on the higher end. But there's still, I mean, you're looking at the players. The players don't look all that different from 2017, 2018, right? So
they had that staff.
If they cleaned house, no one would care anymore, right? But since they didn't, there's, you know, how can you not hate on them? Right.
They had a stat with like Altuve, Correa, Springer, something about these like five teammates that have played more playoff games together than any other set of teammates.
Wow.
And yeah, I know.
I would have thought that would have been the Dodgers, but I guess they've moved a lot of pieces. So
yeah, they have. They're more plug and play, you know, and like you mentioned, the core is still there. Those are the guys that are there that were in the middle of it.
They're the same faces that you were, you know, that were up to bat and garbage cans were banging are the same faces that you saw this year. So, yeah, I wonder, though, now, because I think they are kind of reaching that point where can they keep this team together? Maybe it's time to just go ahead and just start from scratch. There's a few names that I think aren't quite as hated. Like, obviously, like Altuve is one where because he hit that home run, right? So, you know, people point to him. Also, the jersey thing. But there's a couple of guys that I think you could probably, like Correa, I think doesn't get as much heat as some of the other guys do. So maybe you keep him around and then you rebuild around. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they do.
Yeah. So we have not been on the air in 2 weeks or so. So we actually have quite a bit of baseball to review. We're not going to go too in depth into every single series, but I wanted to get your guys's kind of review of each of the division and championship series. I myself, unfortunately, was on a boat offshore for a week, so I could only look at highlights. And
it didn't look very unfortunate. It looked like you were
MLB. Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, he says that like it was
nice.
A hardship.
Oh, no, it was.
Missed all this baseball.
The only hardship was missing baseball.
Exploring the depths of this underwater world.
It's 2020. This guy's going to baseball games. He's exploring the depths undersea. What pandemic? What 2020?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, my son started school this week. It's crazy, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, all right. So, let's see. We got a lot of picks that we made, but let's go ahead and review everything. Back to the division series. Let's just get it out of the way. Dodgers and Padres. This was a series, I think, a lot of us, you know, obviously the Dodgers are the favorites. They were the number one seed, just like the Rays were, and that's what we ended up as far as the World Series is concerned. But as far as heading into the series with the Padres, I thought they were going to show up, and they didn't, and they got swept 3-0. Yeah. I mean, that was
brutal.
I think that just kind of really exposed the Padres' weaknesses, to be honest.
It also just goes to show you, like, yeah, the Padres had that hot streak, you know, the grand slams and all that stuff, but the Dodgers are just a much better team. Like, let's be real. This is one of the reasons why, you know, like when people are like, "Oh, I can't believe we didn't make the playoffs." I'm like, "Yeah, we couldn't beat the Padres."
Yeah.
And the Padres couldn't beat the Dodgers. Like this is like I'm like better than my friends at golf, and then I try to play like the club pro, and then the club pro tries to play like a PGA pro. It's like there's levels to this, and the Giants weren't even close to what you need to be a contender this year, so.
No.
I mean, it was a good series for both teams in the sense that the Dodgers said, "Nope, we're still the bad boys of the NL West." And the Padres said, "Okay, now we know what we need to do." You know, that was a learning lesson. That was one of those series where the team that's up and coming got their ass smacked down by the perennial champion. And you kind of, you know, expected it after game one. You know, there was one game that got tight, but that was it. I mean, the Dodgers just ran right over them.
Padres do have building blocks, though, like legit building blocks. So it's not like they're in a bad position going forward. They're young. Now it's just, they got to put together some of the other pieces that they're missing.
They're going to be good for a couple of years at least. So the Giants are going to have to contend with both the Dodgers and the Padres in the West. And this is ignoring anything that Arizona and Colorado might do over the next couple of years. So they got a tough road, as we talked about this year. It would have been great if the Giants could have snuck in the playoffs with this, you know, expanded a system this year, because we don't know what it's going to look like exactly next year. It might be expanded to some extent, but may not be to 16 teams, right? And so if you're going up against the Padres and the Dodgers and you're trying to get in the playoffs, that's a really hard hill to climb. And so if they expand it to 16, the Giants still have that really good shot. If they kind of cap it at 12 or keep it at 10, then you know the Giants are going to have a really tough time making the playoffs for a few years until.
I actually like the 16 teams. I didn't think I would, but it made a lot of baseball fan bases have things to care about later on in the year. I also think that maybe we don't need 162 games, and maybe we could get like a shorter regular season and a longer postseason and have it be fine because 60 games really did kind of shake out who the better teams were, right? So maybe we can win 120 or, you know, something like that.
Well, we're both number one seeds going to the World Series, and we talked about it, Chad and I, a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that the new playoff format shouldn't matter if you're one of those great elite teams like the Dodgers claim to be, like the Braves thought they were. And we said they should be able to prove it over this same course of these playoffs if they can prove it over 162 game season. And both of them did that, which is kind of stunning. I did not expect us to end up with both number one seeds just because of odds. You know, I didn't think it would shake out that way. And then we end up with that. And I've thought about that. The season could be shortened. And I kind of like the chaos in the playoffs this year. It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, think about the NBA playoffs. You generally get the two best teams from each conference, right? So,
true.
You know, it's like, yes, there is definitely like anything can happen in the playoffs, but over the course of that many games, the cream rises to the top in general. And obviously in sports, you want the underdogs to have a shot. You want that to be the case. It's not like the volatility of like March Madness, right? Where, you know, Gonzaga is like comes in and does something crazy. And you're like, what? Because they play one game. You're still playing a series of games. So. I'm with you, though. I think shorten the regular season, lengthen the playoffs, let a lot more fan bases have some fun towards the end of the season. I don't know. Other than like records and stuff.
Yeah,
it's not really a downside, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see an argument for shortening it back to the 154 like it originally was, perhaps even less. But even those 8-9 days or whatever it may be would give you enough time if you had the 16-team format. To have a longer series, especially in that first series. I mean, you know, this year was a one-off thing. I don't think they're going to go back to a three-game series for the first round because there's no bye for the number one seed, right? And so you get teams like the Dodgers and, you know, whoever else might be a one seed in the future. and it comes down. It's not quite the wild card game, but it's three games. I mean, it's a weekend series.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see number eight seeds knocking off number one seeds, especially in baseball, if this were to stick for years to come. Obviously, it didn't happen this year. The Rays and the Dodgers both won. But I do see that happening, and it's a distinct possibility. So I think if you expanded that to at least a five-game series, you at least get a little bit more equity in it. And, yeah, a lot of those fan bases are going to be in it. But, you know, Eric and I were talking last week, and I think we were really much on the 12-game or 12-team or 14-team postseason, I think it was, where you have the number one seeds. Get the
one
buy.
Team gets a bye. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of so, eliminates a lot of that. It gives you motivation sure. to get that number one seed.
The one seed matters a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah.
The, I do think that there's importance in offering some sort of incentive, right? But I mean, the incentive still always built in is that you get to play the worst team, but,
but matchups, man, sure. there's some teams that like,
yeah,
you know,
it's definitely true. Yeah. And you still have to throw out your like number one pitcher and think like, if you get to save those guys a little bit, yeah. But I was thinking about this too. If you do shorten the season, like who is against that? And I was wondering, like, do you think that like small market teams and teams that don't necessarily contend every year would be against it because they don't want to lose out on, you know, an extra dozen games of revenue. Right. But then I was thinking about too, like, are they making that much from a dozen games of revenue if their stadium is empty? Like, is that even, are they that concerned?
Right, I thought
that,
the same. You know? As soon as you said it, that's where my head went. I was like, well, I mean, it's kind of a wash. You're losing, six home games, and you're barely
gotta
drawing 10 grand
the ushers
a home game. Right. Yeah. Like, are you,
I don't think it's going to impact too much.
Even? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know who would really be against this other than, you know, hardcore people. Like I'm even – so I've softened my stance on the designated hitter in both leagues now. After this year, the one rule that I really, or the two rules I really hate is the runner on second in extra innings and the three batters thing. Those two things, I think, get rid of that. But everything else, it's kind of shown me that like we could change some things in baseball and it's fine.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Well, the runner on second's going away. That was just for this year for the regular season.
And it's not in the playoffs, obviously.
And it's not in the playoffs. But the three batter, you know, rule, that's designed to stay. And yeah. You know, I do think it'll be around for a couple of years, but I wonder if they're going to take a look at when they have a lot of data, you know, they know how to crunch numbers. They got a lot of people that do this and look at how much did that rule really shorten games. And I'm sure they could isolate other variables. So they really could focus in like, okay, how many pitching changes did that really reduce? And did it, you know, reduce games by 15 minutes? Oh, well then it's worth it. Did it reduce it by 2 minutes? Who cares? Like two minutes. I mean, that's just dumb. It's like, keep it in there. I personally, you know, hate the rule. I'm with you, Willie. I definitely don't like the DH, but I don't feel there's anything I can do about it, and so I just gotta jump aboard. You know, I'm not gonna yell,
caring.
Get off my lawn, right?
I stopped, you know, caring, like, as much, right, after watching enough baseball. And you know, the other thing about that too is that I did kind of get to see that on the Giants, like a couple guys got opportunities they wouldn't have gotten otherwise, right, to actually get at bats and things like that. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of a wash in my mind. But
that's why I was such a proponent at this point, because the rosters are expanded, so you're not taking a job away from anybody.
Yeah. I also, though, I wonder, will we go to 26 players? I also wonder, though, like, if there's this three-batter rule over time, do pitchers start, like, faking, like, a blister, and they're like, I got to come out of the game after, like, they get their one out, and then they're like, okay, well, oh, no, actually, it turns out in the post-game report, he's fine, he's going to be ready for tomorrow. It's going to, like, are they going to start taking dives like soccer players and stuff? It's going to, I don't know. I don't want to.
Yeah,
I don't
like
this
football or basketball when the one side is tired, you know. Oh, injury. Oh, we got a timeout. Give everyone a breather.
Yeah.
I can't imagine pitchers being on board with it. That's the thing. Like, there's been multiple times in this postseason where we've been like, oh my God, this guy doesn't have it. Just take him out. But they can't. They have to wait some more batters.
Poor guy. Right. Yeah. Oh, poor guy. So he's out there. He knows he doesn't have it. He's got to stay out there.
I mean, it's been brutal, but
sorry, buddy.
But he's also not going to willingly come off the mound. You know what I mean? He's not going to be like, oh, I have a blister. Maybe I'll pack it in for the day. He's going to be like, no, I can fight through this. You know, the mentality of a ball player. So
season two, there's going to be like 40,000 people booing him.
Yeah.
This year, there's nobody there. But
I know.
Normally, there's going to be people like, you suck. You know, and That's
the stupidest rule. I've seen it affect series. You know, so far we've seen it. Tampa Bay yesterday, it's so funny. The guy that closed the game out, I thought they would have pulled after his first batter faced, and then he ended up mowing him down, Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, yeah. Yeah, no, that was good. And by the way, I was before we review the other series, you know, the baseball that I was watching, especially last night, right, with the game 7 for the Dodgers and the Braves. I mean, you know, it was a tense game. It was emotional. It was all these things, and the players are getting into it. But they were bringing up points, and John Smoltz was talking about this, saying, you know, for a lot of the young kids, this actually was kind of an advantage, not having fans, or at least not many fans in the stands, because you really couldn't hear them. It wasn't that loud because they were like at quarter capacity, and you had kind of even representation from both teams. But, you know, they're just not feeling perhaps the moment as much as if they were in Dodger Stadium with 40,000 fans, you know, standing on their feet while this young, you know, kid pitcher comes in and tries to, you know, shut the Dodgers down. So it was interesting. And as a fan at home, I didn't feel it either. It was like, it felt like a practice game in a way, just because that audio, mm-hmm. you're missing a lot of that stuff. And I know they pump in a lot of the audio, but it's not the same as that deafening roar of an NLCS in a tight situation from the home crowd, you know? So it was definitely a different feel. And I wonder how differently some of the players may have performed. Given the fact some would probably perform better, maybe they're motivated by it, and some are probably shrinking in the moment. But it was just an interesting observation. But all right, let's talk about the other division series. We got in the National League, of course, the Braves beat the Cinderella Marlins 3-0. I don't think that was a surprise. I don't think anyone picked the Marlins, but it was good to see the Marlins finally lost a series in their franchise history. They made a big deal out of that. We're 7-0. We're undefeated in the postseason. And it's like, yeah, shut up. So, yeah, the Braves shut them up pretty quickly. There was nothing of note, I think, in that one. It was just a clean sweep. Nothing.
Braves just clearly right home
about. Yeah, clearly the better team. Back to the American League. Houston and Oakland. Oh, man, you know, Eric, we were talking about this last week, and I picked Houston. You know, being the sub 500 team, you know, they had the same record as the Giants and the Brewers. And yet here they are, you know, they're making it to the DS. And of course they did beat the A's, but it was something that I was hoping wouldn't happen. But they have a lot of playoff experience and a lot of swagger and confidence and cockiness. And I think a lot of that went a long way. The A's have been there a lot too. It's just they haven't succeeded. They just keep losing their first series every year. And this was the first time they won a series over the White Sox since 2006. So they finally made it to the next level. But it's just, for some reason, the A's are kind of like the opposite of the Giants. The Giants get in those 3 years and just kind of mowed, you know, the field. And the A's keep getting in more often than the Giants and just can't go anywhere. It's just really weird.
I just watched Moneyball, and it reminded me that the A's are built to make the playoffs and never win the World Series.
Bingo!
Yeah.
Because that was basically the premise of that movie. It was like, well, we can get wins. And then you get to the playoffs and you're like, all right, yeah, you get wins because you get more runs or whatever and give up less runs. And it's a mathematics problem. But when you get to the playoffs, no, it's not the case anymore. And by the way, I forgot they didn't make any big deal about this in Moneyball. But that was like Zito, Hudson, and Mulder years.
Yeah.
Like they're like acting like this team has nobody. But at the beginning of the movie, they show one banner. And it's David Justice. Like, they took down Isringhausen and Giambi and stuff. And then they just put up David Justice. And I'm like, yo, you had Zito, Hudson, and Mulder. What are you talking about? Freaking liars. They had Tejada and Chavez. Like, come on. Oh,
I forgot about Miguel
Tejada. They're talking about Scott Hatterberg the whole movie. I'm like, dude.
It was Chris Pratt who played him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's Chris Pratt.
Played Scott Hatterberg. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This was like Chris Pratt's first I'm Not Fat Anymore role.
Yeah,
and this was Jonah Hill's last I'm Really Fat role. So
it sure was.
And then, of course, Billy Bean has to be stoked that Brad Pitt is playing
him. Oh, man. Like, he can take that to his grave.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Brad Pitt played me in a movie.
And then they make him look like the greatest man of all time. Like, they make this whole deal about – and, it is true. It did happen that the Red Sox offered him, like, $12 million or something, and then he turned it down to stay with the plucky A's, like – he really got treated like a god in that
Well, not to turn into an A's podcast here, but isn't there something to be said for failure after all these years of getting to the playoffs and never able to go anywhere at all? Like, they haven't even made a World Series under this formula.
No.
Like, maybe it's time that Billy Beane wasn't sticking around anymore and the A's tried something different.
He's like a part owner now or something, right? He's not like the GM, but I'm sure their mentality's kind of stuck around.
Yeah.
But they also did point out, too, that the Red Sox won 2 years later, something using a lot of Moneyball tactics. Although they also had, you know, some big power hitters. It wasn't like they were all just taking walks, you know. But the big thing I think that really does make the difference is they talked about stopping no stolen bases and like no bunting. Like, they're not giving away outs ever anymore. And that was kind of the bigger mentality, I think, of that. But yeah, it's like they are still the small market team and they got like a couple of guys who overperform and then they're like AAA for the Yankees, you know what I mean? That still is kind of the case. And
yeah,
it was kind of on display here, like, yeah, well, we're definitely going to beat the Astros, right? It's like, well, no, the Astros are still kind of jam-packed with good hitters. So
I mean, this was the matchup to show that being there before matters when it comes down to these kind of little differences. And the Astros edged the – I mean, there was what, like 20 home runs or some crazy crap
the
like
number
that?
Of home 20, runs was insane.
24. 24 home runs. They averaged 6 a game. It was ridiculous. The ball was flying. And it still showed, though, Houston had been there before. You know, you can put together whatever you want to. And the Rays are trying to do that themselves right now. But you can put together whatever you want to. And sometimes experience just matters. And the Astros showed it did, which is why I think we all just kind of settled in and we're like, all right, the Astros are going to give it a shot here. You know, it didn't matter that they were an under 500 team anymore. It was just kind of like a normal playoffs. The Astros were in there. They were doing their thing. You know, it feels like Tampa was the upstart, not Houston this year. And it was really, really fun to watch that Tampa-Houston series.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. Speaking of Tampa, of course, they went up against the Yankees. That did go the full 5 games. I think a lot of us were pulling for the Rays, and yeah, they pulled it out. So, I mean, the Yankees definitely showed some spunk. They didn't lay over like they often do, at least in the last 10 years. But hopefully they can start another decade in which they do not reach the World Series, which, of course, the teens was the first time they had done that in, what, like 60 years or 70 years or something crazy like that. So,
yeah, it's got to be
the Rays, I knew they had a low payroll, but I just read it yesterday, and they're 28th in baseball in terms of their payroll. It's like $28 or $32 million. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And here they are in the World Series as the number one seed against the Dodgers, who are, you know, like number one payroll or number two payroll, whatever they are. So
yeah, this is this kind of happens every now and then, right? Where you just kind of put it together. I mean, this was like the Royals and like the Marlins and stuff of previous times, where you just get the young guys who are about to be superstars and they all kind of hit at the same time, right? They all get hot together. Now this is the thing, though, they're not gonna be able to keep this team together, right? If they actually win it all, Tampa Bay is not the team that goes, hey, let's start let's pull out of our pocket here. And
I mean, imagine if they were.
Yeah,
they'd be if so they were. Good.
The Yankees are, and then Tampa Bay is not. The Yankees have like dynasties, which is why it was funny listening to Yankees fans bitch and moan about how it's been a decade or whatever. And I'm like, okay, enough out of you guys, like. Come on. We went 50 Yankees, friggin' years.
They went 5 games with the Rays, and the Yankees didn't really even show up. They just kind of hit a home run here and there and kept themselves in the series. The Rays are the type of team that just beats you by 1 or 2 runs, you know, just because they do all the things right. And the Yankees were sitting back waiting for that 3-run homer that didn't always come.
And then, of course, Chapman did his Chapman thing again.
That was awesome.
Which is just the weirdest.
That homer,
it's the weirdest
I don't understand.
Phenomenon. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me that this guy just keeps on giving up. Like, and not even just like to lose a game. It's like to lose like the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's done this several times. He is not Rivera. I mean, during the regular season, he is Rivera. But yeah, playoffs, he just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Oh, by the way, so
but not
the payroll. I don't know. So the Rays are $28.3 million this year. The Dodgers $107.9 million. So 4 times. The Dodgers could pay for 4 Tampa Bay Ray teams. That's insane. So Jesus Christ. All right. So then moving on to the LCS. Oh, by the way, we made our picks last week. I made a clean sweep, baby.
Yeah.
I got Dodgers, Braves, Rays, and Astros. Eric was 2-2. He missed the American League. He had the Yankees and the A's and the ALCS.
I've been so
and
I know bad we didn't, with the American League, man.
We didn't get yours, Willie, officially, but what were you thinking?
Well, at the beginning, the beginning of the season, I had called the Astros were going to win the whole thing. So I got pretty close on that one. And then I'm pretty sure I had Dodgers, even though I hated it. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. Right. The Rays, that came out of nowhere to me, honestly. I knew they were good once it got to be playoff time, but I had not really been paying attention. Their regular season record was insane, right? And then, but I don't watch the Rays, right? No. So, yeah.
I still can't name more than like a couple players, by the way. I mean,
yeah, it's funny because yeah, Ty is like texting me all these like people on the Rays, like he's like, oh, now I hate them because of this and that. I'm like, you hate them because you're an Astros fan. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
I started like watching some of the stuff. I'm like, okay, I mean, that guy flipped the bat, I guess. But everyone's like, people are in like a competition this year to see who can flip their bat in the most disdainful way possible. It's just happening left and right now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, I don't. There's no bad guys on this team. There's just a bunch of people nobody really knows about. That's
yeah, yeah. That's like the a hard working kind of blue collarish team. It seems like it just
sure.
feels
I
like
mean,
it, right?
I guess Choi was kind of a jerk in one of the games or something. So now he like hates him. But I'm like, yeah, he's not on the top of my villain list at all.
No,
when it comes to big people.
Choi's like a teddy bear, man. He's, sure. he's like this. He's the big jolly Asian friend guy, you know what I mean? That laughs at everything, that's always down for a good time. You know the type I'm talking about.
Yeah, totally I'm looking at their roster. I'm like, I don't know enough about any of these people to hate them, first of all.
Yeah.
And also they're all so smiley in their pictures. Yeah. They look like they're having fun to me.
Oh, they're all funny. Good guys so far. They really are. Kiermaier is the longest tenured Ray. He's the guy there. Austin Meadows, what is that guy's name? He's on the team. Mm-hmm. Randy Arozarena, though, he was the guy. I mean, he was the LCS MVP. Yeah. This guy's been lighting it on fire. Apparently, he was in the Cardinals organization,
yeah, kind of out of nowhere. He
I had
was,
no idea.
Was last year or whatever from the so. Cardinals, yeah,
yeah. I'd never
he
heard of
seven
him.
Home runs in the playoffs so far. I mean, it's just crazy,
ridiculous. He's one behind Barry Bonds. I mean, give yeah. me a friggin' break,
and he's got the whole World Series to go, so he could easily break that record.
Yeah, because the record's 9, I think. So I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of the Rays, I think that like a newspaper endorsing a presidential candidate, I think that our podcast can officially endorse the Tampa Bay Rays
mm-hmm.
in the World Series.
I am a lifelong Rays fan, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, the Giants almost went to Tampa Bay. So back in 1990.
No, for real, though. I do root for the Rays. I lived in Tampa for years. The yeah. Rays are the first organization to ever give me a press pass. I couldn't help but think of the Trop during that game 7 because the game I covered at the Trop was sold out. And it's loud in there when it's sold out. And, you know, you were talking earlier about the LCS crowd, and it would have been thunderous in Tampa. And I actually wonder if the Rays might have wilted a little more than the Astros. I think, like you said, not having fans helped the Rays out because they're just a bunch of younger guys clicking on their own. And they get to come in without as much judgment, I guess. I don't know what the hell.
What's the – do you guys know what's the story with the Arlington Stadium for the World – like, are there going to be fans the entire time? And
yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be similar to what they've been doing? Okay.
I've got my buddy, my Dodger friend that I go to CrossFit with. He just posted this morning. He's flying to Arlington with his daughter. They got tickets for the World Series.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. It's crazy. I think it's the same 25% capacity. I actually, okay. when they put the tickets on sale, I looked at the LCS tickets. Not that I was going to go, but I was just curious. And they had tickets for like $300-$400 in the right field stands. I mean, I paid $500 for a World Series ticket in 2012.
Yeah.
But for game one.
Where
but,
were you
I mean,
sitting?
Yeah. It wasn't lower deck. It was upper deck, behind home plate.
Sure.
They were
when we went to see the Phillies. Yeah. So when we went to see
the Phillies, Cardinals
like, NLCS. Yeah, we went to see the Cardinals. But I'm talking about when I went to Phillies. I sat upper deck that time, and those tickets were like less than 200 each or something like that. They weren't that crazy.
Yeah,
but when we saw the Cardinals,
I can't remember how much those tickets were. They were pretty good seats though.
Yeah. Yeah, those were really good seats. That was crazy. We were sitting like third base side right down there. So, but this is the one thing I would not do during the COVID pandemic is go to any event where people are traveling from all other places, no matter how much we're distancing and how much we're like, I'm not going to that.
I don't. Yeah. If the Giants had made the World Series and I had extra cash laying around,
I might think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think about it, but I couldn't take that chance. I don't know. It's really weird. But
this is the situation that just seems so risky. It's like there's people coming from all sorts of places. I don't know where they came from, who they. It's just there's too many variables there, right? Like I can go down the street to the store here and feel kind of okay because I'm wearing the mask, I'm staying away from people, I'm doing what I can do, and I know what the numbers are here in Travis County. You got people coming from who knows where, right? And all coming together, and yeah, sure, you're far away from you, but come on, someone's gonna want to high five me at some point, right? Like,
I'm not doing now. It's weird. Yeah, you got plane travel, you got the hotel, you got the stadium.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uber, Las
Vegas. We never have any people from out of town, so I have no idea what it's like.
Yeah, you're like
to avoid this.
Well, at least when you go play poker, you're usually playing with you have out-of-towners at South Point, right?
But they're pretty regular.
Yeah.
Still, yeah. No, it's funny. Yeah. I actually thought about this. Like, the distancing at the park has been pretty good. You can see the rows of people that they sold the seats in groups and then spaced them. And that looks pretty good because I've seen some shots of, like, the Braves had a watch party and all this stuff where I got to tell you, like I said, I go to a casino all the time. We are farther away from each other than so many of these gatherings that I see of people just watching outdoor sporting events. It's like, I don't understand. But baseball looks like they've handled the crowd pretty well. It does not look like a college football game at all.
Well, my daughter just showed me all this stuff, and now it's kind of blowing up on our little community. But apparently on Thursday or Friday night of last week, the high schoolers had a massive party, and there were apparently hundreds of kids there. And so my daughter was showing me Instagram and Twitter videos of her friends. I mean, it was the classic packed, you know, massive living room with 100 kids just jumping, you know, up and down, raving kind of thing. Well, anyway, they had this party. It was all the local high school kids. And a couple of the cheerleaders are now positive for COVID, and they were at that party. So as a result, they've shut down all high school sports practices this week. And there's so many kids and parents that are pissed, they, you know, that weren't a part of the party. They're like, God damn it, you selfish, you know, sons of bitches, you know?
Because then the kids go home to their families, and then, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. We don't know. The other shoe hasn't dropped on that, right? Yeah. This is just on Friday. So now you could have other kids that picked it up at that party and won't test positive or show it or pass it along to their, you know, grandmother until mid this week or later. So, yeah. Anyway, that aside, we're taking this seriously. Speaking of the League Championship Series, they both went 7 games. As baseball fans, normally I'd be like, all for this. This is, you know, get the maximum baseball possible. And the Tampa Bay-Houston Series at least got a little sweaty there. I mean, the Rays were up 3-0, and the Astros come roaring back and win 3 in a row. And we're just kind of sitting there, and I chose the Dodgers and the Astros to be in the World Series. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, what the hell's going on here? This is just, like, I thought they were done, and they come roaring back. And then we got the same thing with the Dodgers. They're down 2-0 and then 3-1, and they come roaring back. But they actually win it. So it's just frustrating. I'm glad the Astros aren't in it. But, I mean, from a competitive and entertainment standpoint, even though I didn't get to see the majority of the innings, it was fun baseball, but not quite the result I think we were all hoping for.
Yeah, would you have preferred the Astros than the Dodgers, though? Because I would definitely have preferred the Astros.
Yes, if I had a choice, it had to be one. Yeah. Then yes, the Astros, because I can deal with that. I mean, it sucks that they could win another World Series, but that's like the whole country hates the Astros, right? Except for Houston fans. So it'd be like, okay, whatever. Dodgers, you know, most of the country doesn't hate the Dodgers. That's just kind of us, and we don't want to see them win. And every time they make it, you know, we get
I just don't want to lose this bullets. Thing that I can laugh at them for, which is constantly getting in the playoffs and not winning the World Series. And if they actually win, I guess now I'll be like, yeah, but you won in the 60-game COVID year.
I know.
So well, at least I still got something.
I know. I hate that. I want to do that, but at the same time, that's pretty, you know, it's weak sauce.
Yeah, if the obviously. Giants had gotten in and won it all, I would not want people saying that about.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't really count. It's a 60-game season. It's like, well, yeah, but the playoffs were just as long or longer, actually.
Sure.
You know, they had that extra 3 games on the front end, so it's like, you know, what are you going to do? Like we all thought the Dodgers were not going to win the West this year and not be the number one seed in the NL. I mean, I think that was – they did it in 60 games. They were going to do it in 162. It was going to happen. So
I will say whoever does win this year, they deserve it just the same as any other team that wins it because you played enough baseball. This is not a tiny – this is not like, oh, we went out and had like a bunch of one-game series. We went out and we played baseball for a pretty long time.
Yeah. But that game 7 last night, though, I did watch – the majority of the second half. I joined right after Mookie Betts robbed Freeman of the home run. And the Braves are still leading 3-2, but it would have been 4-2 at that point. And, you know, butterfly effect, we don't know how the game would have ended up, but they were just that one run away. And then Roberts pulls the right string, and Kike Hernandez steps up and hits that massive pinch hit home run to tie it. And then you get Cody Bellinger. And I was watching that at bat live, Eric. I was just sitting there, and it was just like, get him high and tight, get him high and tight with that, you know, that slider. And he left that slider high, but it was not tight. It was all over the plate, and Bellinger just turned on it. And he just, I mean, it was a no-doubter. He obviously admired it through his bat. I guess he dislocated his shoulder in the celebration.
Oh, my God, that was hilarious.
I know, yeah.
Oh, my God, he literally had to go get it pop back into place. They had video of him mouthing, it popped out,
yeah,
talking about his shoulder. Yeah, he went up, they did the bash, and his arm popped out. You can see the next guy, he turns away from him when they're doing the celebration. You know, it was just really, really funny. I had three thoughts about the Dodgers series, and that's about it. One, I would never bat Cody Bellinger sixth. I don't understand that thought. He's Cody Bellinger. He's still going to come through. Two, I think Dave Roberts is a horrible manager. The clubhouse is already making excuses for the Dodgers losing the series before they came back to win it. And if that's the mentality in the clubhouse, then your manager's lost his voice in that clubhouse. And three, there was never a moment where I thought Atlanta would win the series. That's the problem. The Dodgers have too much talent. It's just so hard to
even when they were up 3-1, huh? You're still thinking.
Yeah,
that.
I never in my mind was like, all right, Atlanta's got this. The Braves are going to the World Series. We don't have to deal with the Dodgers. Never once. You know what I mean? Every game you turned down after that, the way it started, you're like, that makes sense. Well, that makes sense.
Well, I'll disagree with that for me personally, because I thought after the Dodgers won with 11 runs in the first inning on game three, I was like, oh, that's the momentum has shifted. But then the Braves came out and like wiped their, you know, the floor with them in the next game. And I was like, okay, never mind. Like, because at that moment I did think, oh, yes, okay, oh, that was fun for a moment. But when the Braves came back and won game four, I did think, oh, they're going to do it because they're the team that's a little more loose and having fun. And they got Pablo in the dugout starting dance competitions and whatnot. And the Dodgers are tight and making excuses already. And you know what I mean? Like, I definitely thought that at that point. I'll agree with all of your other points, though, that Dave Roberts does suck and Cody Bellinger should be batting for it.
Yeah, you had a lot of ex-Giants on that team, too. A lot of people were kind of pulling for the
Braves. It was like five
reason.
Or six or something on the Braves, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You had
poor Will Smith, man. Poor Will Smith.
Will Smith got torched by Will Smith.
By Will Smith, yeah.
How everybody's going to remember him forever. Nobody's going to remember Will Smith in any other way but the guy who gave up the home run to Will Smith.
Yeah, no kidding. So we have the Braves and the Rays. I'm sorry, the Braves. I meant the Dodgers and the Rays. So I guess we got to come down to it and just do our quick picks before we get into some Giants news. But, I mean, I went from it from the beginning of the season, and so I guess I got to stick with it. The Rays are a great team, but they just do not match the firepower of the Dodgers, let's be honest. They're spunky. They could win. The Dodgers just can't seem to put that final step in place, and maybe they still won't again this year. But you give a team enough chances time after time after time, I mean, they're going to break through at some point, and this could be their year. So the Dodgers also, you know, won three in a row. They're kind of riding high right now, so... yeah, I mean, not a surprise pick, but going with the Dodgers, hoping it's the Rays.
All right, I'll pick the Rays just because I can't pick the Dodgers. I can't let myself do it. I will pick the Rays. I'm with you though. They do not match up when their leading home run hitter is Brandon Lowe.
Lau.
Lau, sure.
Yeah. See, I didn't even
that's the point.
Don't
Nobody
care.
Knows.
Right, that's the point, yeah. There it is.
Sure,
in a nutshell.
Brandone.
Brandone.
Lowy. Yeah. Like, that does not match up with, like, the fourth highest home run hitting guy on the Dodgers. So, yeah. It's going to be a struggle, but hey. You know, it's a good story to beat the team that has four times the payroll than you. That's a great story.
Oh, God.
I want to see it
fantastic.
Happen.
I want to see that happen big time.
I'm going to stick with Willie here, and I'm also going to choose the Rays. One, this is the exact reversal of 2017, where I chose the Dodgers and the two of you chose the Astros. Mm. And I was the one that's like, nope, I just think they have too much talent. So I get Chad's point, but I love the way this Rays team plays baseball. I've watched every one of their playoff games. I love the way Kevin Cash makes moves. Somehow in game seven, Kevin Cash had somebody pitching against Correa that hadn't faced him the entire series. And Cash makes pitching moves like I go through underwear. So it doesn't – that's not a good one. So it doesn't – a toddler goes through underwear.
You might want to invest in Depends there. I don't know.
A toddler who's potty training goes through underwear. All right, there we go. But he does. He makes moves all the time. And to be able to still keep matchups fresh in game six and game seven, I think is kind of the advantage, I think, that could beat a team like this Dodgers team. So I like Cash. I like the way he manages. I like the talent sprinkled through this Rays club. And I think Randy Arozarena is going to keep kicking ass. And so I'll take the Rays in seven and hope I am right. Cause you know, like I said, lifelong Rays fan here.
Oh, hell, let's do that, please. You kidding me? All right, we got to wrap up here in about 10 minutes. So let's go through the Giants news. Last week, Brandon Belt had surgery to remove a bone spur from his right heel. So he started rehabbing this week. Should be good to go. It's just a minor procedure. But hey, you know, we were all, you know, there's a lot of people who are always on top of Brandon Belt, but they really couldn't detract from him this year. He had a fantastic year. He's going to get a few MVP votes here and there. So hopefully he can carry that into next year, especially if the bone spurs were bothering him this year and he still performed this well. So that's
yeah, I really hope that he has an actual good, healthy, legit season over 162 games because he is 32 now. He's no longer the young upstart who's at any point he's going to put it together. It's like, all right, dude, you're running out of time to put it together, man. But he's still right in that pocket, right? This is kind of like they always say like 27 to 32. That's like the prime. Obviously, some people can extend it through pure talent or unnatural means. But, you know, he's just like a professional hitter who just hasn't been healthy for a full season. And I want to see him actually do that for once. So, yeah, I'm rooting for him a lot. Plus, I think we need him to do anything next year. So.
No doubt. And he did get a few votes for being an all-star first baseman behind Freddie Freeman. But, you know, Freddie Freeman was off the charts this year.
MVP Freddie Freeman. Yeah, that's what I think.
No, he's had an incredible
Solano game. Also he, got coming off of that. Wasn't Solano picked to be like he would have been an all-star had there been an all-star game this year?
So the Sporting News unveiled their selections for the hypothetical National League all-star team. It was voted on by National League executives. And so Donovan Solano was the starting second baseman.
Nice
for the Giants. So yeah, he was out there. So obviously Belt got a few votes for first base, and then Yaz, who received votes in the outfield, but lost out to Soto, Betts, and Acuna.
I mean, the outfield is tough.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of people in the outfield.
And Yaz, he was the MVP the first 20-30 games of the season, or at least he was right up there. He was, you know, maybe tied. But he faded off. He had some injuries, obviously, and some of his production tailed off. But he still had an overall solid year. So
I mean, it's not even that. If it was a regular All-Star game roster, he still would have made the team, I think.
Oh, he still would have made the team as, reserve or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. I think Donnie Barrels does, and I think Wilmer might have gotten some votes, too.
Mm.
Not in this. I'm saying Wilmer might have gotten votes if there was actually an All-Star game.
Yeah.
So Elio Ramos was sidelined in the instructional league in Arizona with an oblique injury. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on that, but should be fine. The Giants also laid off about 10% of their staff, and this is mostly in the developmental and baseball operations side. Now, these don't take effect until December 31st. Their contracts are essentially just not being renewed January 1st. So it's not like they're getting fired right this second, but they are given basically 2-3 months notice. They said that this results in roughly 50 people, but it's not just the pandemic and the financial impact of the pandemic, but it's the fact that the minor league system is being severely reduced, in the coming year. So they're just not going to have the need for as many people to be working with the minor league organizations, as many scouts, as many analysts, as many, you know, video people, whatever it may be. So, that's kind of behind it. It's kind of sucks, but you know, I guess that's just the sign of the times.
Yeah, they actually just the hotel that I worked at, bartending, that's right next to my apartment. The whole hotel is closed. They closed the entire hotel.
Wow.
It's a Wyndham Garden Hotel.
And it's a Wyndham. Holy crap.
And it is no longer a hotel. Yesterday they like texted me and they're like, if you left anything in the bar, today's your last day to come and get it. And I was like, what? And so I was like, well, let me just go down there and see if, like, well, what are you doing with these liquor bottles?
Right. Right, yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there anything else I could take from here?
But I went down there and it was a little too late. Like, the people who were like trying to get out of there and shut the door, and I guess then crews are coming in. So I missed my chance. But yeah, basically, the whole, I mean, I could have raided the kitchen and probably gotten some sweet equipment. But it's just gone. I mean, it's like, that's, I expected that maybe they would say, okay, we no longer have a restaurant and a bar. I did not see the whole hotel closing down. And it's like stuff like this where you're seeing that it's affecting businesses where you're not expecting it to go that far, right?
Yeah.
And with the Giants, like, okay, I get it. We're not filling the stands with people every game, right? So, but, I mean, you still got to think that there's revenue coming in from TV deals. There's revenue coming in from selling the cutouts. There's revenue coming in from, you know, merchandise. There's still a lot of revenue, and then you don't have to have all the staff on hand every game, so that cuts things down, right? I thought maybe it was still kind of, their bottom line was still okay. Also, I would assume over this many years of success, they have a little bit of, you know, a coffer to rely on, right? But now everyone's tightening up in ways you did not see coming.
It's just it's a business decision, and the Giants are one of the last teams to do that. So many of these teams did this back in April and May. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of these people were on staff for longer. So, you know, silver lining is the Giants at least kept them around for the full year and paid their salary. It just sucks to see in any situation.
Yeah, hopefully the situation reverses itself, and next year everything's kind of back to normal and they do some hiring. But this is like why it's frustrating when you see things like Donald Trump is like, oh, look how many jobs we created. I'm like, you mean jobs that came back? Because those aren't the same thing.
Like, I know,
people are still losing their jobs. It's not, you know, it's like, yes, it's the unemployment rate is less than it was right away.
But it's a perfect strategy for someone like Eric who's actively gambling, because if he loses $10,000, you know, and then wins back five, he could just tell his wife,
you're up five.
Dude. I'm
up five, honey. I've never won $5,000 in a week. Duh.
If I were to talk like that, I'd be broke, man. I would be flat broke.
That kind of economics does not work in the long run.
No, it doesn't. It's not you how it works, Donald.
It's not how it works.
But no, yeah, so I went out for a job the other day. That's like, in any other circumstance, I would be a shoo-in to get this job, right? It's like a podcast producer, editor. Like every part of me is overqualified for this job on paper. I go in for the interview. The guy goes, well, first of all, let me just tell you, there were 600 applicants. Jeez. We're down to 30, and you're one of the 30 that made it to the interview stage. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I've already gotten through a lot of people, but that still doesn't feel like the numbers are in my favor. But normally I'd be like, I would send in my app for this. They would talk to me and be like, okay, you're the guy. Like, it's fine. But right now, no. 600 people applying for a podcast producer job.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That just, tells you
that's where we are. World.
All right. Well, we're going to reflect on some happy times here. The date was October 16th, 2014. And let me pop it up here. This happened.
Ooh. Ishikawa has grounded out to first, walked, and struck out looking in this game. Big pitch here.
Dude, everybody in that dugout was ready for this.
Possible winning run.
Everyone had big smiles, didn't they?
Yeah.
Out there in scoring position.
Ready to go.
You could feel the magic coming.
Now the stretch. Here it comes. Swing. There's a drive. Yeah. Deep into right field. Way back there. Goodbye. A home run.
The thing about that was that when he hit it, it was enough anyway. And then it went out, and it was like icing on the cake, right?
Ishikawa
is
being clobbered by his teammates as he comes down the third base line, and he is mobbed at home plate.
Like, you went nuts the moment the ball went in the air. Ishikawa. And then you went nuts again when you realized, oh, my God, it's gone.
And it's gone,
The Bobby Thompson moment.
I mean, Giants win the pennant was something we all grew up on, right?
So. To win the National League pennant by Travis Ishikawa. What a moment.
I love how he says Travis Ishikawa so many times there. It's fantastic.
The biggest games here in 2014.
That's one of those things where you're so happy that a guy like that had that moment in his career because, you know, he had such a struggle but he'll never not remember that. Like, that's always – it's like, hey, I don't even care. Yeah, I was a journeyman. I went all over the place. But you know what I did do? Hit a home run to send the Giants to the World Series. That we then won. By the way, also, so I think we all have to tell, like, where were you when this happened? Because it's one of those moments, right?
Yeah.
You guys remember?
Was, of course you remember. Yeah, I was. Oh, yeah. I was at my apartment in Tampa. I know I was watching it with my now wife. And let's see, what year was that? 14. Yeah, I think it was just the two of us at that point. And the thing I remember more is the Morse home run, being like, okay, this is the night. I think that's why everybody was smiling in that.
Yeah, that tied it up. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that I felt the confidence the players were showing in that moment as we were sitting there watching it. I mean, you had two on and one out. Travis Ishikawa was probably not going to hit into a double play in that situation.
No.
So I think the way it happened was unexpected, but the fact that it happened wasn't unexpected in that moment. And it was, it was me. It was me.
And it's
wife.
Nobody out, and the pitcher was not locating at all.
No.
So you just kind of felt like all we had to do was wait him out, and then he just kind of like, he stopped waiting. It was like, oh, I'm just looking for this one. I'm looking for this pitch.
Yeah.
And if I get it, then I'm going to swing. If I don't get it, keep throwing balls. I was at Nikki's, which is a bar in Lower Haight, and we had been there the whole, like, the routine during the entire playoff runs of those years was get to the bar as early as you can so you could stake out a spot at the bar. So we were probably, and then, you know, you like order food or something, try to like get a nice base because you know you're about to be there for the next 5 hours drinking heavily, which we were. And the whole place is packed, and I'm with like the usual crew because it was like the same type of people who would always come and meet up. It was like one of those things like text chain, like, all right, where are we going today? And we've been doing Nikki's a lot, and I've never seen a place go that wild and like go from like everybody like on the edge of their seats to like everyone's just losing their minds and people are like falling over each other, hugging, and dudes are like essentially crowd surfing on top of other people. People are on the bar. Everything's falling over. Drinks are going everywhere. Drinks are flying into the air. It was it was phenomenal.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was at home just watching it. You know, my family wasn't even watching it with me because they're like, there's dad again watching baseball. But no, my wife was happy.
Freak out.
I freaked out. Yeah. And they're like, what's wrong with dad? You know, like, is he having a seizure? So, I mean, it was the same thing with the World Series. We were all watching as a family. My parents were over for that one. You know, I was there for game one of the 12 World Series. You know, that was probably, you know, the funnest kind of celebration, if you will, even though it wasn't clinching, but like watching Panda hit three home runs and just having like people you didn't know you turn next to going, what, three? You know, and just like hugging it out. I miss all that stuff, man.
It's, oh, yeah, right.
If we get another run like that, I think all three of us need to actually be in a bar in San Francisco watching, like, because there's nothing like that feeling of like everybody in there is all on the same page. And, you know, it's like we've all been doing the same. We've all been staking out our spot and everyone, you know what I mean? And it's like we just so many, like, Zeke's was the place for the first two. And then 2014, it became Nikki's. I don't remember exactly why, but I think it was just we went there for one game and we won. And we're like, okay, this is the one now.
Oh, God.
That's how it happens. That's always how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how the streak starts with one. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, coming up, of course, the World Series does start tomorrow, Tuesday, October 20th. The games are back to a traditional day off in between the switching of home and visitor, which they did not do for the championship or the division series, which was actually kind of nice. It was nice having baseball every single day. Yep. Sometimes those off days, you're like, I miss baseball. I wanted to have baseball today. But yeah, so they're going to be doing that. Now, of course, that said, that was the League Championship Series. The World Series will have off days. So they're going to have game one and two, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's off day, 3, 4, 5 over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Monday's an off day, then 6 and 7 on Tuesday and Wednesday. So if the series goes five games or four games, I'm sure we'll just kind of record it at a normal time next Monday. If it goes 6 or 7, we'll just kind of address it and see when we're going to record next. But we won't wait too long because we want to talk about this stuff unless the Dodgers win, and then maybe we'll just won't do a podcast till next year.
Maybe we just crawl into a hole for a while.
Yeah, we just hibernate because, like, why do we want to address that? You know,
we'll scoop up the three trophies to make us feel better.
I know you're going to see a lot of that. I know you're going to be a ton of Giants fans if the Dodgers are winning it, and the Dodgers fans are going to go, hey, we finally won one. They'll be like, oh yeah, boop, three. You know, be like, all right, you know. It's true, but yeah, speak to us when you get three in a row or 3 out of 5. All right, well, that'll do it for episode 211 of the Torture Cast. You can follow us collectively at TorchaCast on Twitter. Like us on Facebook or individually, myself at ChadK21, Eric at Two Out Hits with the number two, and Willie at Willie Dills. We stream this on Facebook. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you can find this video on Facebook and then eventually on YouTube as well. Willie, what you got going on? You got some streaming still happening?
Not really. We're kind of focused right now on just getting the job situation secured and then some other podcast things that I'm working on. So, yep. But if you do want to check out Twitter at Willie Dills and then twitch.tv/WillieDills, if I do stream, you'll find it on Twitter. Also, quick shout out, Gary Brown was on American Ninja Warrior. If you haven't had a chance to check that out. If you don't remember who I'm talking about, he was like our number one prospect for a long time and it didn't pan out. But he was on American Ninja Warrior. So
I missed that. Really? Yeah,
should check it out. Wow. I think there's been some write-ups on like McCovey Chronicles and other places. So
what a trip.
Just Google it, it'll come up.
I'll never forget him because the first time I was ever on this podcast, I said the wrong name for Gary Brown. So I'll never, ever forget him. And I just want to congratulate everybody on not pulling a Jeffrey Toobin during today's video conference call. It was a good job, everybody keeping their clothes on. Good job.
Oh, I missed that too. Okay, I'm going to Google that as well. So I missed a lot, apparently. So
a lot going on in the world.
That was just today, man. That wasn't even.
Oh, all right. Oh, I'm going to have some fun then. I'm going to go pick up my son and then have some fun. All right. Well, that'll do it for episode 211. We'll be back in a week and a half, something like that, wrap up the World Series, then head into the hot stove time of the year where we'll start really addressing what we think about the Giants' needs are, kind of where we think they should go and what's available for them. So for Willie and for Eric, this is Chad signing off, and we'll see you next time. Go ahead, Willie.
Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchaCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchaCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchaCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.